Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Natalie Compton, travel columnist, Washington Post. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm glad you're on because people are traveling in and out of the United States like somebody threw a switch and here we are and there we go and here they come. And but whenever something like that, whenever something like that happens in the current environment, then tons of questions will follow, which is why you're here.
Right. It's right. An incredibly confusing time to be traveling, but this week was a giant week because the United States started letting in Europeans and people from some other countries back in. So for the first time in a long time, the foreigners are confused as well. But yes, we are confused when we go abroad, too. It's a weird time for travel.
Well, who did the ban affect? I mean, prior to them dropping it. I mean, was that everybody or how many?
No, it wasn't everybody. It was 33 countries. It was a lot of Europe, places like China and Iran. There were very different places from around the world where tourism is pretty high. Europe accounts for most of the travel in the United States from abroad. So it definitely impacted our tourism. There were lots of places like Japan where that ban hadn't impacted them, but they couldn't come in unless it was official business. Now, pretty much the United States is saying, if you're vaccinated and you want to get a test, you can come.
You know, we have travel between one state to another, and some states put other states on a list. And if they're on that list, you are supposed to come back and quarantine, and nobody checks you, of course. I mean, you just drive back and forth. But with this, I mean, there'd be no way that someone from outside the country could possibly get in the country without going through these kind of procedures. I mean, it's because, it's a step-by-step process. You just don't get on and come on over.
Right. It is up to the airlines to check for that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And we know that people can make mistakes or things are confusing. So in theory, you might be able to slip through the cracks. Although if you were trying to game that system and sneak in, I don't think you would have a very good shot.
No. What are the vaccine and testing requirements to leave or to come in? I mean, are they the same or do they vary?
Well, I think what's interesting for Americans and what makes travel so confusing right now is that it depends on where you want to go in the world. If you want to go to Mexico, you just go right in. If you want to go to different places, you might have to prove your vaccination, plus get a test. In Thailand, you have to have those, as well as prove that you have insurance, travel insurance that covers a COVID situation up to about $30,000. So different places have very specific rules that differ. It's really all over the place. But what every American needs to know is that if you're traveling abroad, when you come home, whether or not you're vaccinated, you have to get a COVID test to come back in. So if you're vaccinated, you have to get a test within 3 days of your flight home. If you're not vaccinated, you need to get a test within 1 day of your trip back. And I think that is something that's deterring Americans from wanting to travel internationally right now, because they're like, well, what happens if I test positive abroad and I get stuck somewhere? So it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. So these requirements that you just mentioned are before you ever get on an airplane, right?
So it's supposed to be checked by the airline at the place that you are departing from. So if you're transiting between France to Iceland to the United States, in Iceland they're not going to check anything. They're checking in France to see your whole way through.
So there isn't an international standards.
No, not at all. And I think that's what made everything so confusing, because people thought, like, oh, I thought this applied in Italy, so that must apply in France. That's
right.
Absolutely not the case. Right. We have seen, even within the United States, if a foreigner wanted to go to Hawaii, that's a different situation than going to most of the rest of the United States. So it has been a very complicated time for people traveling. Plus, it doesn't help that things change every day. So we were telling people that if you're going to France, you apply to have your vaccine card turned into a QR code so you could go into restaurants and stuff. Well, last week, it turns out they stopped taking those applications. So now you have to get a test when you arrive in France. So things change all the time, adding an extra hurdle to your travel. Now, that being said, if you're vaccinated, the CDC pretty much says you're good to travel. So you can start doing that kind of thing again.
These travel requirements, is it the responsibility of Air France, if you were traveling Air France, to come back to the United States from France to implement those protocols?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever airline is who you're flying from your departure city, they're going to be checking. Different countries might have different fail-safes, but it tends to be something that happens at the airport. Some countries will require you to upload a health certificate ahead of arriving to the airport, or you get into the next destination, you do a health check on arrival. So it really changes depending on the place you're at. And sometimes you might think, oh, well, I read the government website and this is what they said. Then you find out that hasn't been updated yet, and nobody cares if you're crying at the airport. They're telling you you can't board your plane. So we've heard horror stories. It can be complicated, and because this is something that people have to enforce, they might not know the latest rules. So it seems like sometimes if you hold your ground and try to make some calls to your airline or talk to a manager, you can still figure out a way to get on your plane and go if you're pretty sure you have it right.
Obviously, I just want to remind people what we're talking about here. We're talking to Natalie Compton, who's the travel columnist for The Washington Post. And the borders have been, such as they are, opened by the United States for international travel in and out. Do travel agents still, they must have the information that mm-hmm. travelers are looking for if they use a travel agent, wouldn't they?
It is a time for travel agents. They're going by travel advisors now, but it's their time to shine. No. I think they're trying to rebrand because with the advent of booking travel on the internet, travel agents fell out of fashion. People were like, I can do this myself. Right. I can find whatever. So they're trying to come back in a new role of advisor. And I don't know if that rebranding has helped at all, but the pandemic has absolutely helped them because you are working your normal job. You are taking care of your family. You mm-hmm. don't have time to be checking Germany's health updates all the time and finding out, oh my God, can my flight actually happen? Plus, if your flight's canceled or something goes wrong, those people are paid by you to make things work. They want you to get on your trip and they want you to be happy. So it is a great time to consider using a travel advisor, particularly if you are going abroad, because they are there to advocate for you. Yes. Not every travel advisor charges for their service. They might just take commission from the hotel that they book you at. Some do charge a fee. You should know ahead of time before you start delving into a relationship with them. But it's a great service for right now. Plus, they'll help you get COVID tests or navigate those restrictions. So they are more handy than ever.
How about unvaccinated children? Mm-hmm. Can they travel with their parents or guardian?
For the most part, we haven't seen any places that were really saying no. For the most part, it's actually really interesting. As somebody covering this, I've found it really difficult to find that information on a government website. Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of want to keep things vague because everybody is confused. But at this time, for the most part, kids under 18 or kids under 12, depending on where you're going, don't have to be part of that vaccination rule. Sometimes kids will have to test still. Kids under 2 don't have to wear masks in most places. So things are different. Plus, now that the FDA has said kids can get vaccinated, I think that might be changing soon as well. But for now, for the most part, if you're traveling with a parent, you don't have to be vaccinated if you're a kid.
What about all the vaccines? Are they all allowed? I mean, especially internationally, there's a whole list of different types of vaccines. I saw something from Russia that was called Sputnik. Or something like that.
Yeah. There is a growing list of vaccines, and no, you cannot get into every country mm-hmm. just because you're vaccinated, and the United States absolutely scrutinizes against the vaccines that people have. And it really depends on where you're going. I'm sure places where that vaccine was produced, you could probably get into that place. On the whole, for the United States, if you got vaccinated within the United States, you're pretty much golden. It's kind of like a U.S. passport. You're good to go wherever you go because it's the gold standard. If you got a random one in China, you might not be able to go to the same places, and you might have to get tested or a new vaccine to be able to have the same freedoms.
Right. Do visitors, how do visitors show proof of vaccination? Is it the same way we do going somewhere else with a card or that Q code or whatever you called it?
Yeah, it's actually very interesting because the rest of the world seems to have, the rest of the world really is on top of it by having all of this information digitized. So you can pull up your vaccine information on your phone and show, this is my vaccine that I got myself personally. It's tied to whatever government or hospital or the like. Mm. But in the United States, we just have this thing on our piece of paper. And we have been hearing that people are faking vaccine cards or buying them online or borrowing ones from their family members to travel, which is absolutely illegal. And you can face incredible fines. But when you're going somewhere, for the most part, you're going to show your vaccination card to the airline when you are boarding or when you're checking in for the flight. For other people who are coming from outside the United States, that is depending on how you're vaccinated, what proof you show. But usually that's going to be show the airline in whatever form that looks credible, and then you come on board. And that goes for the test as well. I found it very interesting that these people who are working at airports, they're having to look at all of these documents from so many different people, and you might get one person who's looking at every single teeny tiny detail on the results of your COVID test. There are other people who are not paying much attention and be like, okay, this looks fine. And we've heard cases of people who you get, you can't board the flight because you got the wrong COVID test or your COVID test was taken too early. So it's really, you really have to do your best to try to follow the rules exactly, because you don't know if you're going to get that strict person or if you're going to get somebody who's just really overwhelmed and says, this looks pretty good.
Well, we're talking about international travel. So just out of curiosity, you know, they used to say, or maybe they still say before COVID, if you're traveling like out of O'Hare Airport at the international terminal, be sure to show up at least 2 hours before your flight or something like that. Mm-hmm. How early do you got to show up now? I mean,
I get flack for this because I am in a relationship where the other person likes to arrive at the airport at the last possible moment. Yeah. I've always preferred to get there early. From the people who I interview who work at airports, who are flight attendants, who are travel experts, people are saying you should get to the airport early because if you are traveling internationally, there are times when you're going to have to potentially line up with a bunch of people and show that vaccine card instead of just checking in online. You are also dealing with an interesting situation these days where there are fewer business travelers and more leisure travelers who aren't as used to flying. So we've heard examples of security lines taking longer than usual or check-in lines taking longer than usual because people are just like, well, I've never done this and I am struggling to go through quickly. And whether or not that is going to be the case when you show up to O'Hare is totally up in the air, because you could get, I have multiple times shown up at the airport very early and there is three people in line in front of me at security. So we do know that fewer people are flying right now, even though we are seeing an increase in travelers from the pandemic. It's definitely down from summer. It's definitely down from 2019 numbers. So airports in general aren't as crowded at this point. However, we're expecting a giant surge for holiday travel. Yeah, so I would say that if you're going abroad in the next couple months, get to the airport early because you might be with a lot of people.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate your expertise on this in a continually confounding situation. That's Natalie Compton, travel columnist for the Washington Post.